So today is Pentecost, and we're going to start a little bit bigger than just Pentecost. We're going to start with the universe. Let's see a picture of the universe. You see, we live in a big, big, big universe. Can you try and stretch your arms as wide as you can? I'm afraid that's still not big enough. That's very big, but it's not quite big enough. The universe is even bigger than that. Okay, arms down. But God is even bigger than our big, big universe. What we're going to do is we're going to travel through space in a few seconds. We're all the way at the outer edges of the universe. We're going to zoom in now, and we're going to come to planet Earth. So watch the screen, and we're going to land somewhere very special as well. So here we are, zooming through space, all of the stars. We're getting into our galaxy, the Milky Way, and we're going to come near to our solar system. We're zooming in, and there we are. Here we are. We've zoomed all the way into Earth. And any idea, this is a city, this is a satellite image from outer space. Any guess? Now, I know some of you have been there. Any idea what it might be? It's not that easy to tell from here. Any guesses? Yes. Jerusalem. Well done. A round of applause. Got that first one. There we go. You know your cities from space. That's great. So we're thinking about what happened in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And Jerusalem was a busy place on this particular day. There were lots and lots of people. And we're going to zoom in to one house in particular. Let's see if we can see the house. There we are. A normal house, just the one on the side in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. But although this is a small building, it is absolutely filled to the brim with people. There's loads and loads of people in there, full of lots of disciples, lots of Jesus' friends. And they are waiting. They've been there waiting for about 10 days. It's been 10 days since Jesus went up into heaven, and he said that they needed to wait. But what happens as they are waiting? Well, Elliot is now going to come, and he's going to bring us our reading from the book of Acts. Again, we can see that on the screen or on our pew sheets. Thank you.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly, there was a noise from the sky, which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, religious people who had come from every country in the world. When they heard this noise, a large crowd gathered. They were all excited because all of them heard the believers talking in their own languages. In amazement and wonder, they exclaimed, "These people who are talking like this are Galileans. How is it then that all of us hear them speaking in our own native languages? We are from Parthia, Media, and Elam, from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, from Pontus and Asia, from Phrygia and Pamphylia, from Egypt and the regions of Libya near Cyrene. Some of us are from Rome, both Jews and Gentiles converted to Judaism, and some of us are from Crete and Arabia. Yet all of us hear them speaking in our own languages about the great things that God has done." Amazed and confused, they kept asking each other, "What does this mean?" This is the word of the Lord.
Well, that's a great question, isn't it? What does this mean? What does this mean? Well, that's what we're going to think about this morning. But first, I want to ask you a question. Maybe have a chat with the person next to you. When do you find it hard to be patient? We all know that at times we should be patient, shouldn't we? But when do you find it hard to be patient? When do you find it hard? If someone says to you, you need to wait, when do you find it hard to wait for something? I've got some answers already. Yes. When do you find it hard to wait? That's a good... Yeah. That's a great answer. Thank you. Did you hear that? Well done. So when my brother's playing Minecraft and I have to wait, and it seems like I'm waiting forever to play and have my turn. That's a great answer. Well done. Sammy, yes. So it can be frustrating if you're playing a game and you have to wait for the rest of your team to help you out. Yeah, any other ideas? Anyone else? Yes. Waiting to finish school and waiting to finish a hike. Oh, right. Do you do many hikes? Oh, you did one yesterday. Wow. You finished it. Well done. Any other things? Maybe one or two other things. Anyone over this side? When you're in a hurry, thank you. You obviously, this side is obviously a very patient side of the church because they never find it hard to wait for anything. Well, I don't know. It can be really hard, can't it? When I was growing up, it's going to show my age now, when you got something in the post, you had to wait 28 working days. That was just normal, wasn't it? 28 working days. Now, Amazon Prime, it's next day delivery, or you can even get it the same day sometimes. We live in a culture where waiting is really, really difficult. And Jesus had told his friends to wait. And perhaps they were finding it quite hard. They were being quite impatient. They were saying, come on, Jesus, we're waiting. We don't want to wait any longer. But Jesus told them they need to be patient because he was going to send his promised helper, a person, the Holy Spirit. And what Eliot's just read to us is what happens when God turns up. So I said at this early one, we're going to learn three things. Pentecost teaches us three things about God which are important for us, and it's what God is really like. And there's some makatons. So we're going to be doing some signing. So maybe just move your hands around. We're going to do a bit of signing. So I hope you can pay attention. So the first one is God is really big. Okay, that's a nice easy one. Shall we sign? So God is really big. Let's have a look again at what verse 2 says. It says, suddenly there was a noise from the sky which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, listen at the moment. Can you hear that? No, there's not really much sound in church today. I think we could make a really loud rushing wind noise, okay? So if this is going to be too loud for you, maybe put your hands over your ears. But for the rest of us, okay, I'm going to count down from three, and we're going to make a really loud rushing wind noise, and I can see how loud it can be, okay? So, three, two, one. It's okay. It was a bit of a, I would say it's a bit of a gentle breeze. It's not exactly a rushing wind. Okay, one more chance, okay? Let's count down from three. Three, two, one. Better. Better, but I'm thinking gale force average. Hang on, I think I might have something over here to help me out. Okay, right, let's have a look. Now, here we go. This is a bit more like it. Right, so again, countdown on three. Three, two, one. There we go. I think that's a bit more like it. Wonderful. Very good. So hopefully that gives you a bit of a picture of what it might have been like. But why would this loud, noisy wind? Well, it's because God has turned up. And God is really big. Okay? And he's awesome. He's powerful. And let me tell you why this is good news. Let me tell you about a girl I know called Janie. Janie has just joined a new primary school, and on her first day, she looked around at the other children in her class and noticed that actually she's the shortest out of all the other children. And this made her feel a little bit uncomfortable. And at break time, especially when she saw the rest of them playing in the playground, she felt like the children were treating her a bit differently because she's new and because she's a bit smaller than everyone else. Well, Janie was at church a few Sundays ago, and her Sunday school leader was leading her favourite song, Our God is a Great Big God. And at that break time, when she was feeling a bit small, Janie started singing the words to herself, Our God is a Great Big God, and thinking about what those words meant. Now, Janie doesn't mind being the smallest, because she knows that the biggest person in the universe, God, is with her. Okay, so God is really big. Okay, secondly then, God is really close. Okay, can you guys do this on the front row? Paying attention with the signing, that's it. God is really close. Let's have a look at what verse 3 says. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which spread out and touched each person there. Now, I want you to imagine, all of a sudden, you're sitting in church, then you look up, and there's a great big fiery flame above your head. I don't know about you, but I would find that a bit scary. I'd be trying to put it out, maybe take a glass of water and throw it over my head. But this is different fire, isn't it? Because the Jesus' friends, they're not getting burnt or hurt. Now, when we read the Bible, fire is a picture of God being close. We see that in different things. We see it in Moses in the burning bush. There's fire. Or we see it when God leads his people out of Egypt to the promised land. We see this great big pillar of fire, reminding the people that God is close. And Pentecost teaches us that God can now live inside people like you and like me, even people who aren't perfect, people who get things wrong, people who aren't patient, who grumble. But because of Jesus, God can live in us. So that's the second thing. God is close. He's closer than the person next to you. Have a look at the person next to you. God is closer than that person. Try touching the person next to you. Try touching fingers or something. Okay? That's pretty close. But God is closer than that person's touch is to you. Because God is close on the inside, in our hearts, where no one else can live. Let me tell you about another friend of mine, Mikey. Mikey's just moved to uni in Southampton. It's his first time away from home, and though he's fairly confident, he's feeling a bit lonely. Mikey's just joined the CU, the Christian Union, and at tonight's meeting, they were thanking God for how close God is. Mikey, suddenly, he just feels this warmth just rush over all his body as he just knows that God is close to him. That God is near, and just as great, God has put other Christians to be around him, to be near, so that he doesn't need to feel alone. And even on the days when he realizes he misses his family, he misses his old friends, he knows that God is close and that he is never, ever alone. So let's remind ourselves what we've done. So the first one, God is really big. God is really close. And the last one, and I like this one, is God is really faithful. Can you like interlink your fingers like that? Almost like they make a cross, okay? God is really faithful. Let's have a look at verse 4. It says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Now, remember I said earlier on that all those people were there in Jerusalem for that festival. It was a harvest festival when they would celebrate when the barley was brought in, which was like a winter crop. They'd been growing it over the winter. They'd bring it in and they'd have this great big harvest festival celebrating God's faithfulness. All those people are there from different countries who speak different languages, but now each and every one of them, whoever they are, they can hear about Jesus' love for them, because the Holy Spirit has helped these people to speak in completely new, different languages. Now, have we got any people here who are good at foreign languages? A few people. Okay, well, let's see. Bit of a test to see if we know what languages they are. So the first word is a Spanish word, viento. Anyone know what viento is? Claire knows. Anyone else? Any other guesses? Anyone on this side want to have a guess? Viento. It's Spanish. No, not sure. Joan, do you want to tell us? Say again? No, it's not coming, no. It is wind, yes. Yes, sorry, I had the wrong one down. I was expecting a different answer. It is, well done. Viento is wind. Okay, let's have the next one. Now, I'm bound to get the pronunciation on this wrong. This is a French word, feu. Is that right? Feu. Fire. That was a bit of an easy one. Well done. Okay, lovely. And then the last one, let's have a look at this. This is Hebrew. Ruach. Now, this can mean a few things. It's almost a trick question for anyone. Idea. Ruach. James, do you know what this is? What is it? Mirror? Noah. It's not Noah. Good guess. Ruach. It's not water. Shall we see any? There's someone here, I think. Breath. Do you know what? I'm going to give that to you because it can mean breath. It can mean breath, but it can also mean spirit. The word in Hebrew for spirit and in breath is the same word, ruach. So well done. You've learned some languages today. But the thing about languages is, we're not just born knowing every single language, are we? We have to learn them. You have to study at school or on Duolingo or go to classes. You need to learn languages. But at Pentecost, all the disciples didn't suddenly learn all these languages really quickly. God, by his Holy Spirit, gave them the power to speak these languages supernaturally so that everyone could hear about what Jesus had done. And how does this fit with God being really faithful? Well, it's because this is what Jesus said would happen. Let's zoom back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And it says this. This is Jesus saying this before he goes up into heaven. He says, "But when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be filled with power. And you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, something else is happening here as God shows his faithfulness. And I've got some Jenga with me here. Now, if you've been coming along to the Sunday school, one of the things that you were looking at earlier in the year was about the Tower of Babel, where all the people on the earth, they'd gathered together and they tried to build this great big tower, making a name for themselves all the way to the sky. But the thing is, they weren't doing this for God. They were doing this for themselves. So God confused their languages, and all of a sudden the person over here didn't understand what the person over here was saying. And you can't build a great big tower if none of you are speaking the same language. So the tower kind of collapsed and never got built anymore. But something different is happening with Pentecost. So here God confused the languages and they weren't able to do anything. But at Pentecost, if you notice, it's almost the other way around, isn't it? God gives his followers all these different languages, not that so they can build an amazing tower, but that so they can be witnesses for Jesus, so they can be builders of the kingdom of God. God's giving them languages so that they can be involved in this amazing work. And you know, the Holy Spirit still gives Jesus' friends power today. Maybe not power to speak other languages necessarily straight away, but perhaps. And God gives them power to be bold and courageous, to stand up for what is right, to be witnesses like they were, to speak about Jesus to our friends at school, to our colleagues at work, to family members online, wherever he might be. The Holy Spirit still gives us power today. But sometimes as followers of Jesus, we can actually experience what it's like to have the Holy Spirit to come and fill us on the inside. It's a bit like this jug here. This is you or me. And sometimes the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit when God comes to us is a bit like this, that God fills us not just a little bit, not just halfway, but he continues to fill us with his Holy Spirit, giving us the power we need. So it's overflowing. So yes, we are still ourselves, but we're different now. We are filled with God's Holy Spirit. And the experience of that is different for different people at different times. Sometimes it might feel like this, like that boy was describing, this amazing sense of warmth and love and peace. Sometimes it might feel like a real challenge to do something or to change something in your life. But it's always the Holy Spirit who is at work. But how can we experience the Holy Spirit? Well, what were the disciples doing? They were doing two things, weren't they? They were gathered there, they were praying, and they were obeying what Jesus had told them. They were praying to God for strength, for courage, and they were obeying what Jesus had told them, to wait in the city. That's all they needed to do at that point, to wait. They were praying and obeying, praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a person just like Jesus. He wants to come to be with us. So we need to make sure that we are praying. We need to make sure that we are obeying too. We're not told to wait in Jerusalem, but we are told to go out to make disciples. It's what Jesus says at the end of Matthew's Gospel. We go out by teaching and encouraging others and challenging and sharing, doing all of these things. So I wonder, are you being obedient? I'm not asking if you're being perfect, but are you trying to shape your life to follow Jesus? Are you praying? Do you spend time praying to God, giving thanks to Him, asking for strength, praying for others? And perhaps you feel like you're not being that obedient, you're not really praying at the moment. Well, I'm sure you're not alone. All of us have good times and bad times. But let today then, let Pentecost 2024 be the start of something special for you as we pray for the Holy Spirit to come and fill us now. So let's remember our three things, okay? So God is really big, God is really close, and God is really faithful.